Welcome to the Bringing Intimacy Back Show, where intimacy is real. On this show, we believe that intimately connecting with yourself, your significant other, children, family, friends, business networks, community, and your higher power can elevate your life to work towards a positive future. Thus, we explore intimate topics, inspiring life stories, spiritually and insightful tips on strengthening relationships. This show is hosted by Dr. April, a Florida-licensed mental health counselor, relationship and intimacy therapist, board-certified telemental health counselor, national certified counselor, and a certified sex therapist. She is the owner of Vacation Counseling and Cape Coral Therapists, and the creator of the Intimate Connections newsletter. For more information about Dr. April's services and the Bringing Intimacy Back show, please visit bringingintimacyback.com. Check out past shows on Apple iTunes, Spotify, YouTube, or wherever you listen to your podcast. Now, let's get this episode of the Bringing Intimacy Back show started, because we share with you the secret power to intimacy to create a life you love, or love the life you create. Now, here's your host, Dr. April.
Hi, welcome to the Bringing Intimacy Back show, where intimacy is real. So on today's topic, it's something that's very special to me, is talking about spirituality. How our spirituality during this time period with the COVID-19 and a lot of things that are happening in the world, how is that helping us? And why is that important? And so today I wanted to have someone who knows about spirituality, but also has a passion for social justice. And so through the helps of different colleagues and friends, I found the perfect guy to bring to you guys. I would like to welcome Reverend C.J. McGregor. Welcome, Reverend C.J.
Hi, April. Thank you for inviting me.
Yes. Thank you so much for being on the show. And one thing I want to let you know, Reverend C.J., just want to give you a little bit background about his history. He was born in New York, and him and his husband have been partner for 27 years. They're married back in 2004, and they have two adult children. He has a degree in English. He's also an adjunct professor. And prior to ministry, he has done a lot of work in nonprofit organizations in New York and Massachusetts. He's done a lot, and also he's also done a lot in helping the community. And in those areas, and also in Florida, he has served as the director of religious education for 8 years in Massachusetts. He's also served as a hospice chaplain, a chaplain in forensics in Massachusetts, and he's also, of course, served as a head pastor here in Florida. He describes himself as a theatist with a strong humanistic learning. That means that he feels and held by something greater, and he believes we can save ourselves if we are committed to love and justice. He holds this freedom of belief very dear to his heart, and he teaches that we all, and imagine all of us, have a place at the table. And he encourages the Unitarian Universalistic to walk the walk and talk the talk. He describes his ministry as pastoral, stating that he receives the greatest satisfaction from being in relationship with his members, offering caring and support and guidance. Welcome.
Thank you.
Yes. Yeah. So one of the things, of course, in this area of COVID-19, many of us are doing a lot of different things and stuff. Mm. And I'm just curious, as a reverend that is holding up a church and looking at your stuff, a lot of nonprofit different work you do, how are you doing with all of this and trying to hold everybody together?
Yeah. Well, of course, I'll say I'm doing well, and I think I am. I'm feeling like a lot of people are feeling, you know, anxieties about what will come, anxiety. One of my anxieties is I hope that I'm supporting the people in my congregation the best way I can, and they have what they need. Offering pastoral care is a big distraction for me, being able to focus on their needs. I told you earlier that I just took a vacation to New York, to the Adirondack Mountains. And so that's some self-care that I've been doing, but I'm feeling, again, feeling like a lot of people, anxious, especially as we enter our seventh month of isolation.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and it's good that we hear that you take self-care and taking time for yourself, because that's critical.
It is. It is. And that's one of the ways we can sustain ourselves during this pandemic, is thinking of ways to care for ourselves. It's important.
Yes. Yeah. So I'm curious, even let's back up a little bit. How did you even start in this field of caring for people and being a reverend?
Sure. Well, many years ago, my oldest son is 30 now. And when he was seven, we adopted him. Mm-hmm. And he looked at us and said, "When are we going to church?" We had been unchurched at that time. Having been raised Catholic, I decided to leave that church because I thought it was exclusive, not inclusive. And my son had been with a family that they went to church at least 5 days a week. And so when we adopted him, he asked us, like I said, when we were going to church. And so we found a church that, shared our values, and that was the Unitarian Universalist Church. And so eventually I became the director of religious education for a Unitarian Universalist congregation in Massachusetts. And we had just welcomed a new minister. Mm-hmm. And she was so dynamic that I felt that I wanted to go deeper and become more intimate in my relationships with people in a spiritual way.
Right.
And also I had been thinking about ministry before then, but thought, you know, I think before we all go to seminary, we think, well, maybe this isn't for me. Or, you know, I couldn't be a minister. I have to do this, this, and this. But it's a nagging that I felt.
Like a calling.
A calling. It was a nagging pushing me to do it. And when I entered seminary, that nagging went away.
Wow.
So, yeah, that's how I describe my call, inspired by another minister and listening to the small voice that was nagging me.
Yes, yes. And so you mentioned the Unitarian Universalistic, and many people may be saying, well, what is that? I've never heard of that.
Sure, sure.
Can you explain that?
Yeah, I can. A Unitarian Universalism comes from the 14 and 1500s in Transylvania, which is now present-day Romania. And then it moved west, eventually going to Europe and then the United States. Basically, we are founded on inclusion, that Unitarian, well, let's start with Trinitarian. Trinitarian meaning three, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But Unitarian is one God, and the idea that Jesus is a prophet and someone whose ministry we should imitate, but not divine. So that's one God, so una. And universalism, universalists believe that in one God, and that everyone they believe in universal salvation, that everyone will be saved. And so when you come to our congregation, rather than be handed something that says, this is what we believe and you must believe it to be a welcome here, we welcome you and ask what you believe. And we help you go deeper in that. So, you know, in our congregation, we have Muslims, we have Christians, we have Buddhists, we have non-believers, we have humanists, everyone comes together. And we identify ourselves as Unitarian Universalists first, and then what we believe personally behind it. So all of that, all of our beliefs are encouraged and accepted.
Okay, very good.
Yeah.
That's very refreshing. It's similar to counseling in the sense that we have to work with what the client brings to us.
Right. And right. So it's very inclusive.
Okay, awesome. Yes. So on today's topic, I brought mm-hmm. you in because I know that, and even you just mentioned it about intimacy in the sense of being connected with people. And so right. I would like to know, what is your definition of spiritual intimacy?
Hmm. Well, not unlike other types of intimacy, spiritual intimacy for me is about being able to connect with those we love and care for about spiritual matters, and have the confidence that we won't be rejected when we become intimate and share. It's feeling safe, being completely open and honest about our faith with someone else, and sharing thoughts and questions and what our spiritual needs are and what our spiritual struggles are. And that's something unique about the Unitarian Universalist Congregation, or All Faiths, is that that's exactly what we do. We become spiritually intimate by asking people to share their thoughts and questions and struggles and making it safe to do so. So I think that's my definition of spiritual intimacy.
Right, which is so powerful. And in today's world right now, we're all isolated because of this COVID. Yeah. So how important is that in the sense of being able to share your faith, but you're isolated? Are you supposed to be isolated?
Yeah. I think we all have a human need to be part of something or to be connected to other people. And so during this pandemic, that's been a little tricky, being able to have those intimate relationships, being able to connect with people. So at our congregation, for example, we've used Zoom a lot. We gather groups of people together and talk. We have, we're able to offer education and learning over Zoom. But most of all, allowing people a space to join in conversation and having those intimate conversations about spirituality and otherwise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and in your bio, you talked about how you received such great satisfaction. Can you explain that?
Yeah, I think the most satisfying part of ministry for me is having those intimate relationships with people, going deeper than sort of a casual relationship or a friendship that you might have, but really listening to their stories and intimate struggles and concerns and celebrations. So when I teach students in seminary, ministerial formation, I tell them there are three parts of ministry. You have the preacher, the teacher, and the pastor. And so I like them to think about those three parts and decide what order they will put them in. For example, someone that gets one of my interns, ministerial interns, had a real passion for teaching and adult education. So she would put teaching, preaching, pastor. For me, because I get the most satisfaction of those intimate relationships, for me it would be pastor, teacher, preacher. So does that make sense? When you're forming yourself as a minister, you have to think about those three areas and put them in the order that you can identify with.
Right, that definitely makes sense because as humans, we're born connected to someone. Yeah. I mean, that's how we come into the world.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And so, like you said, and for yourself as a pastor, helping people to connect and talk about spirituality and mm-hmm. in that connection, even with their higher power, you know, it is circular.
Yeah. I mean, I believe that the most important role of a minister is to help people spiritually mature. That's why I'm there. And through preaching, through teaching, and through pastoral care.
Yes. Okay. Right. So we're going to take a short break, but when we get back, we're going to learn more about this maturing spiritually, and especially how we can do that during this time period and this in 2020.
Great.
During this difficult time that we are all facing, many people are in need of someone to talk to. One option is speaking to a therapist to express your anxieties if you are feeling isolated or just need someone that will listen and help you with coping skills to get through. Dr. April Brown is now accepting new clients and is working with her existing clients through distance video counseling. The services are through a secure online HIPAA web-based practice management platform called Simple Practice. This technology can provide a secure two-way interactive video counseling session over the internet. For more information about video counseling, please email Dr. April Brown at info@draprilbrown.com or you may call 239-565-6921. Thank you. And remember, we are all in this together.
Okay, welcome back to the Bring in Intimacy show, where intimacy is real. On this topic today, we are talking about spirituality and spiritual intimacy during the COVID-19. And our guest today is Reverend C.J. McGregor. Yes, and so in our last segment, we were talking about spiritual maturity.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and so now as we get into the meat of this topic, many of us that I hear are in this COVID-19 and a lot of different other things that are happening in the world today, where we're feeling torn and isolated.
Right.
Yeah. So what role does spiritual maturity or spiritually grounding have on us, and how can we start working on that?
Right. So I call it spiritual practice.
Okay.
What can help us during these times, whether it be we're talking about the pandemic or racial injustice,
yes,
or, you know, our environment. We have whatever concerns us, we can manage with a spiritual practice, I believe. And so I read somewhere recently that when we're in the dark, and we feel so isolated and alone, or whatever we're managing, we just need to look for the light switch.
Mm.
And so for me, that's what a spiritual practice is that light switch. It's something that can ground us, something that we can hold on to during these times.
That's something inside of us that we find, or outside?
Well, both, and I'll explain.
Okay.
For example, my spiritual practice, you know, some of the work I do is heart-wrenching and anxiety-provoking. And I always need to understand that the pain that I'm witnessing from others is not my pain to carry, but it's pain that I need to respond to. Does that make sense?
Yes.
And so what allows me to do that work and maintain my, sustain myself is that I often start and end the day with reading scripture or poetry or something that holds me and grounds me. And so, when I'm in times of struggle, I can hold on to those things and return to those things to begin again, have the health and the mental health and the physical and spiritual health to go back out there and do it another day. So anything that I would describe spiritual practice is anything that holds us. Sometimes people will call a spiritual practice by going kayaking or walking through the woods. Like I said, reading scripture, something that we do on a routine basis that we know will sustain us and that we can return to when we are having difficult times.
Right. And many of us are having difficult times, and I hear
yes.
Because we have these difficult times and we're talking about spirituality, they're like, why should I even believe? Because if there was a higher power or spiritual being, you know, our world would be, we would all be getting along. There would be no deaths. There wouldn't be no virus. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, to that, I would say that we're placing the blame on the wrong thing or person.
Right.
For example, if we're coming from a Christ-centered faith, God, I wouldn't hold Jesus or God responsible for what's happening around us. I think for me and my theology, I think we're given everything we need and can ask for strength through prayer or whatever your spiritual practice may be. These things are happening not because of God or Jesus in this theology that we're talking about. We believe in Unitarian Universalism, those who are Christian and Universalists, especially that God is a loving God. God wouldn't put his people in this position. And so what we're seeing is created by ourselves. A virus, a wildfire, a hurricane that's hitting the southern coast as we speak. These are not acts of God, as they're called maybe in your insurance policy.
Okay, yes.
But God is a loving God. And I think we need to, I also, you remember I said, I think we can save ourselves. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the tensions that we're seeing in our lives today, like the racial tensions, mass shootings, or, right. you know, all of these things that bring us grief and worry, we are responsible for those things. We can save ourselves by committing to morality, by committing to compassion, by committing to justice and equity. We've created this. We can solve this. So if when people say, why would God or whoever we believe in do this to me? You're placing the blame on the wrong person.
Right.
Does that make sense?
No, that makes sense. And when you're talking about we, you're talking about us, it's the whole wide world.
That's correct.
Yes. Yeah. And that, because of that, there's been, you know, whether it's evil or selfishness or whatever the case may be, that mm-hmm. has caused some of these things.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think we were given everything we need to create the world we dream about. We just need to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And so you said that we're given everything that we need. And I know that there have been many of us or some of us who have lost loved ones, either through COVID or maybe they've lost loved ones through traumatic experiences, through police shooting or maybe even mass shootings or as you said now that we're in hurricane season. How do you help someone who's going through grief? You know what I'm saying? Who's don't feel like they can even make it.
Right.
You said, yeah. That we have a tool inside of us.
Yeah, I think we do. People find themselves sometimes where they believe they can't go on, and so I think it's our responsibility for empathy and compassion, and to listen and simply be there, showing up. Is the major part of this. Even during this time of isolation, there are ways we can show up, even if we can't do it physically. We right. can we can check in on people often. We can urge others to check in on them. We can process this with them and sort of be someone they lean on until they don't need anyone to lean on to get through this. I think intimacy and connection, even whether it be over the phone and through cards and letters or Zoom even, is hope for people. It's only when we find ourselves in that position and we look around and no one is there to console us or offer us a hand or some hope that we'll go deeper in our belief that we can't do this.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and it's interesting you saying that it's, you know, for many people who are experiencing grief, they feel they have a hole or something. And you're talking about how we can do a connection and how that provides hope.
Yeah. Something interesting that's happening right now during this pandemic is that I have a few people in my congregation who have family members that have died during this pandemic, and they aren't able to visit them before they die, after they die, or in some instances even attend their burial. Right. Or funeral services. So that's a whole nother level of what this pandemic brings. And again, I think spiritual and personal intimacy is a good remedy.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Earlier you mentioned about going deep.
Uh-huh.
Yes, yes. How do you know when you're at the surface level of your faith, your belief, or when you're going deep? Or
I say that I need to have those deeper relationships with people. And I think I know when I'm going deep is when I see people in their worst moments, when they have reached the bottom and they're reaching out to me to help build them back up. That's a level of relationship that you don't get typically day to day. When people share their grief and their celebrations with me, that's another way of going deeper. Things that they might not share with other people. And so when I said that I wanted to join the ministry and crave those deeper relationships, I wanted to go from the day-to-day relationships and go deeper with people in those ways and be part of them becoming emotionally and spiritually healthy again or mature again. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, it does, in the sense of what deepness means. It's, I guess, like you pointed out, is that it's also that emotional connection.
Yeah, I think you know you have a deeper relationship happening when people are feel confident that you won't judge them and that it's safe to share their deepest feelings that they don't share with anyone else or on a day-to-day basis. And so we talked about spiritual intimacy. That's exactly how spiritual intimacy works, that something that's difficult, especially during these times, is telling people what you believe or who you believe in. And so we don't feel confident or safe when we do that. So spiritual intimacy is connecting with another human being or a community such as All Faiths that you won't receive judgment for, that it's safe to have those questions and feel unsure and different beliefs. That's intimacy.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Not unlike other ideas of intimacy, such with, you know, with someone who you're married to or other people you care for. The intimate part becomes intimate when you feel safe mm-hmm. and confident that you can do that.
Right.
And so I like to be that person for people.
Okay. And I'm glad you mentioned the word safe. Because you're right, so many of us don't feel safe in expressing even to our loved ones about mm-hmm. our faith, our belief system.
Right. Just think of how many Thanksgivings we've had where we feel we can share our intimate beliefs about politics and religion, and it doesn't work out for us.
Right. Yeah. And so people are feeling isolated and stuff. So it's great to know that there's resources out there, such as yourself and the church that you provide, that can help mm-hmm. people.
Yeah. Like I say, we ask people what they believe and we help them go deeper. We don't hand them what they should believe.
Right. And for, in the whole sense of even being, we've been talking about spirituality. Uh-huh. And is there a difference between being spiritual and being religious? Is there?
Yeah, there is. I think a growing number of Americans, especially younger Americans, are identifying mm-hmm. as spiritual and not religious. And so people who want faith but don't want to identify with a particular religion might call themselves spiritual. Okay. So they don't want to connect themselves to a particular dogma. So people who disagree with churches or congregations on political issues, they feel restricted by the dogma of religion.
Right.
Those are the people that are moving toward spirituality. Being religious means identifying with an organized religion and believing the dogma that they hand you. Being spiritual is seen as identifying with a larger and freer arena to explore big questions, and having that safety and encouragement to explore the big questions. So being religious means you're comfortable with what you believe being decided for you, I believe, and being spiritual allows you connect to communities that share your values, and you're able to explore, which is all faiths, by the way.
Okay. Yes.
Does that make sense, the difference?
No, that makes a lot of sense. And I recently had a session, and someone was just trying to figure out what they believe.
Yeah. So when you're trying to figure that out, it's not helpful to be handed a script and saying, "This is what you believe." But I, as a Unitarian Universalist, we believe that. Let's put all options on the table. Let's figure this out. Let's build our own theology. And so that's what we teach our kids as well, is that we offer them everything, every religion. We talk about all faiths. And encourage them as adults to choose what they believe and follow that. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and I do think when people are able to choose, they're more able to be authentic. And one of the things you talked about earlier was showing up.
Yeah,
and how important that is.
A lot of times, what people believe are what we were given at birth, the religion of our family. And so tend to continue to identify with that and not necessarily believing it, but identifying with it because it's what we do in our family.
And so going on this topic now about showing up,
uh-huh.
Yes, yes. What does that actually mean, showing up?
Well, in the context of pastoral care or offering people support and help, showing up simply means being there and listening is the big key there. We're not rushing in with what we believe or what we think people should do. We're just there as a support, and we're listening. I think other ways of showing up is what you mentioned, is authenticity. Showing up with our true selves, having the confidence that we can show our true selves, our real selves, is another way of showing up. Isn't it a waste of time to form relationships with someone that aren't authentic, that are built on niceties and things we do that we think people want us to do and say. So it has a lot, showing up has a lot to do with authenticity. And that's part of spiritual maturity, because part of spiritual maturity is being authentic, knowing who you are, what you believe, and being able to expose that to others.
Yeah, and I was thinking in the sense of spirituality, showing up, like you said, it's being present.
Yes.
In that moment. And I know you talked about listening, and I also see it as listening to our inner voice, inner spirit.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
You know, and showing up and hearing.
Right. I always tell people we have two voices, inner voices. One is the voice that tells us what we are not, that we're right. bad, or we're this or we're that. That's not our voice. That's someone else's voice. But if we listen to our voice, that other still small voice that guides us and leads us in the ways that we know that, what's the word? Intuition. Mm-hmm. That's the voice we should be listening to, because that is our true voice. The other voice isn't our voice. It's the voices of others.
Right. And I'm glad we even brought this up. And it comes in a variety of in my sessions sometimes when I ask people, how do they hear God? Or what is God or the higher power saying to them and stuff?
Yeah.
And sometimes they can't distinguish between the voices of others. You know what I'm saying? That I'm not worthy. No one's good for me, or whatever their script is. Mm-hmm. Versus hearing that voice inside of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's there. We just have to listen.
Yeah. How do you tell people to distinguish between?
Well, I do just that. I tell them to listen, because what you're letting happen is the voices that are the voice that isn't yours, that's coming from outside, or all those people who have said those things, you're letting it drown out that other voice.
Right.
So you just need to listen and try to get through those voices to the other smaller voice. Does that make sense?
No, that makes sense. That makes sense. But you're right. It's times we're just so clouded by stuff from that other people have said to us that we have a hard time hearing our own intuition, our own
inside. Another thing that I think is helpful that I tell people is I just tell them that you're enough. Mm-hmm. Keep telling yourself that you are enough. And what you bring to the table is enough. What you bring to our congregation is enough. What you bring to your loved ones is enough. And if you keep, that's a spiritual practice, to keep telling yourself that and to live in that way, that you are enough. You'll eventually live into it.
Mm-hmm. Yes, because I'm thinking many times people are have a lot of fear.
Yeah.
Right now, we talked about safety. But there's a lot of fear going on right now.
Absolutely. Yeah, living in fear, the anxiety that that provokes is debilitating. And I'm seeing it with some people in the community, my family, and our congregation, that they're becoming paralyzed because of the fear. And I usually ask them, again, this is a spiritual practice. I keep mentioning spiritual practice because I really do believe we will get through this if we have those practices. A spiritual practice that I credit to the Buddhists is mm-hmm. that they're teaching on suffering. And so Buddhists teach that if we have an outcome already planned and in mind or how things should be, when that doesn't happen, we're going to suffer.
Right.
But if we're mindful mm-hmm. of today, and I even tell people, what we need to tell ourselves is that right now, in this hour or this day, this week, I'm okay.
Right.
That I'm okay. I'm safe. And so if you need to do that by the hour or by the day, do it. Because I think that's helpful. So if a lot of what's happening, I think people have an idea that this shouldn't be happening. Why is this pandemic happening? Why am I not able to do this? Why can't I do that? We need to practice acceptance, another mm-hmm. practice, radical acceptance, I call it. And so radical acceptance means that you understand that we don't have control of most of this.
Exactly.
And so, like the Buddhists teach, if we think we do and live with that understanding, we're going to have suffering. But if we accept what's happening, accept our limitations at the moment, and accept that this is temporary, there'll be less suffering.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, definitely. In other words, if we don't resist, we just accept. Yes.
Right. Yes. Right. Well, it's very human. I mean, we hate it when we don't have control. And when we don't, it really rattles us and it can really debilitate us. Seeking that control, it's just not going to happen.
Right.
And the whole idea of sort of internalizing that this is temporary, because it is, is helpful, I think.
Yes. Yes. Well, now we're going to take a short break, and in our break, I would like Reverend CJ for you to tell a little bit about what you do, what your church has to offer. And if anyone has any questions to call in, we have a call-in number. It's 1-888-627-6008. So yes, tell us about yourself.
Take it away. If you're just joining us, I'm the Reverend CJ McGregor. I'm the minister of All Faiths Unitarian Congregation in Fort Myers. And what I would want you to know is that at All Faiths, you will find a diverse and spiritual community that welcomes people with many beliefs. And you can bring your whole self, your real identity, your full identity, your questioning mind, and your expansive heart. Because at All Faiths, we have more than one way of experiencing the sacred. When you enter our doors, we will ask you what you believe and help you go deeper in that rather than tell you what you should believe. And no matter who you are, wherever you are on your spiritual journey, and no matter whom you love, you are always welcome at All Faiths. At All Faiths, we offer services every Sunday. Right now, they are on online on our Facebook page at facebook.com/allfaithsuc. You can join our virtual services every Sunday. We also have a number of programs that we're offering through Zoom. We have Zoom conversations that you can join and get acquainted with other members of the congregation, learn more about All Faiths. I'm always available by calling our office at 239-226-0900 to talk with you anytime, to help you understand Unitarian Universalism and All Faiths. We are about justice, equity and compassion. Those are the areas that our ministries work within. We are presently working with people who are homeless in all faiths. We are a leader in the response to climate change in our community. We are feeding the hungry, and we are supporting people in our congregation and in the community in many ways. We also are very dedicated to racial justice. And if you want to become part of our ministries and changing and building the world and the community that we dream about, All Faiths is the perfect place to start. So please go to allfaithsuu.org and check out our website. And you'll see a YouTube channel there where you can check out our past services. And if you'd like more information, please contact our congregation. Again, at 239-226-0900, speak to Regina Kilmartin, and she'll be able to connect you in many ways to our newsletter, to our meetings online, and to our services. I hope to see you there.
All right. Thank you so much for telling us about your services and stuff like that. And now I would like for you to, I know you've talked a little bit about some of the practices.
Some of the what, I'm sorry?
Practices of intimacy, such as reading scripture and being present.
Yeah.
So I wonder, are there any other practices that are people out there that are listening and they're like, you know, I'm really struggling and I really feel like I need to get connected and I don't know where to start.
Yeah, the thing about spiritual practice is that you can have a personal spiritual practice or you can have a spiritual practice that you're sharing with others. No matter what, identify one that holds you. I think a lot of people see the spiritual practices of others and they think, oh, maybe I should be doing that. But that's not how it works. We need to think about and understand what holds us personally and make a practice of that. And so other ways that I think, you know, again, the reading of scripture or poetry, even sitting, making time for yourself alone, you know, even though we are isolated and we're not doing as much as we used to, I find we're still all pretty engaged in our daily and in routines and caring for other people. A spiritual practice can be just sitting alone for a period of time every day. Meditation.
Right.
I use guided meditation because if I try to meditate, I fall asleep. Okay. But guided meditation offers you something to focus on and you move through it. So that also works. I think one thing we've learned during this pandemic is that technology can be our friend and amazing. Use technology such as Zoom or Facebook to create intentional groups. So creating groups with people that you share things with to talk about spirituality or to grow from their experiences that they're sharing. So either intentionally create those groups or become part of those intentional groups. And I'm saying intentional because it's part of, it's acting. It's not just thinking about it. If we're intentional about joining a group or creating a group, it'll become a practice. And I think I mentioned spending time alone and self-care. I think we all need that. The other thing we need to practice, well, that's one other thing, a couple other things we need to practice is self-compassion. So having compassion for ourselves. I had a video conversation with our congregation about a month ago, and we decided and accepted that it is okay not to be okay. during these times. We're all responding in ways that would be expected of us during these times. So have some self-compassion and don't feel like, oh, I shouldn't be feeling this way, or I shouldn't be doing this, or I should be doing this instead, and look how good they're doing and I'm not. Self-compassion goes a long way. And the other thing we talked about already is acceptance. Mm-hmm. Accept you, how yourself and how you're responding to these difficult times, accepting its limitations, accepting, again, I think I keep saying that it's temporary. We will get to the other side of this someday. It's terribly difficult, but we have to remember to, when we're in the dark, to turn on the switch. Look for the switch and turn it on. There's light. There is light. And that's a practice, is looking for the switch and turning it on.
Yes, yes. And I want to reiterate again, because you mentioned it, even something that you just recently did, was you took time alone.
Yes.
And that is critical, that even all the greatest prophets, even Jesus took time by himself just to, we've got a human body, so we have to recharge. And for many of our healthcare workers who are listening, or people who help and take care of people, many times we take care of everybody, but we forget to take care of ourselves. And that is important to have that, as you also mentioned, that self-compassion, that,
many of our spiritual folk now and in history, over centuries, we might have gone to a cave centuries ago to be alone. And we need that time, especially if we're going to become spiritually mature and spiritually intimate. We need that time to replenish ourselves, to think, really honestly think about what's going on around us and how we might respond. When I first planned my trip to the Adirondacks over the last month, I realized that I would have to be quarantined in New York once I got there. New York requires a 2-week, 14 days quarantine. And at first I thought I would cancel my trip. I didn't want to do that. But then I thought, I'll be quarantined. I'll be alone. I'll be able to do what I've wanted to do, reflect, think, read, all of those things that can be tools for us to cope. And it was nice.
Yes. Wow. Reverend CJ, this has been so amazing. You've been a blessing to have on the show. Yes.
I'm glad. Thank you.
Yes. If people out there listening, I'm going to make sure I have the phone number. If you're out there listening and you want to connect with All Faith, the phone number is 239-226-0900.
That's correct.
Yeah. Okay. If you want to look them up online, they have a website at www.allfaiths.org. And they have a Facebook, All Faiths with an S, UC. And you also have a Twitter account. Yes.
So just look
them up. Yes. Look him up. And thank you so much for being on the show.
I'm glad. Thank you for inviting me.
Yes. And for anyone who's out there listening and you want to get to know more information about what I do, you can check me out on my website at draprilbrown.com or Cape Coral Therapist. And if you like the show, check out the website called WW Bringing Intimacy Back. Thank you so much for being on the show and for listening. And we will see you guys the next time.